You're listening to KAYT 88.1 FM, Gina, Alexandria. 98.9 FM, Monroe, West Monroe. 92.5 FM, Shreveport, Greenwood. 100.1 FM, Lake Charles. And KQJO, 99.3 FM, St. Joseph, Louisiana, Natchez, Mississippi.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This is the Restoring Faith broadcast, and I am Dr. Christopher Manuel, pastor of the Smyrna, Maranatha, and Natchitoches First Seventh-day Adventist Churches here in Alexandria and Natchitoches, Louisiana. We desire to present the gospel of Jesus Christ to a dying world in the final moments of Earth's history. And now, today's broadcast.
As people, it's important for us to hear that today and to know that. Let's bow our heads for a moment. Lord, we've heard your word. Now, dear Lord, we want our hearts open for you.
Yes,
in Jesus'
Lord,
name.
In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen.
It's enjoyable having a family. And there's special time that we spend with our children because they understand in simple ways and in easy ways who God is and how he works. And sometimes they understand a little bit more than we give them credit for.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And one mother was putting her 2.5-year-old daughter to bed, and the moon was shining bright in the window, and so she decided that she was going to sort of lead her to understand who God is and see what she knew about God. And so she asked her a question about the moon. She said to her daughter, "Who made the moon?" And she said, the daughter said, "God." All right. And so she thought she'd test a little bit further and say, "What about the stars?" And again, the answer was God. And so she decided to probe a little bit deeper into her understanding of things and said, "Who made the trees, the flowers, and so on and so forth?" And finally, she asked her, "Who made Daddy?"
Yeah.
She said, "Grandma." Understanding God and who he is helps us to understand who we are.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
That's right.
Because we're a part of God's creation.
Mm-hmm.
We are the crowning act of creation as man and woman. Mm-hmm. And yet, God wants us to understand something else today. And that is that we are his representatives on this earth.
Oh, yes.
And what he has done for us and to us and through us is what he's counting on in order for him to prepare a people for him to receive. In the 29th chapter of Jeremiah, the prophet, verses 1 through 7, it's important to read that, but I'm just going to quote one part of that that comes out of the New Living Translation.
Mm-hmm.
He tells us, finally, "Work for the peace and prosperity of the city where I sent you into exile.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Pray to the Lord for it, for its welfare will determine your welfare." We must know that God has placed us here intentionally for us to represent his kingdom.
That's right.
That's right.
That's right.
And we must not allow ourselves to be dragged into earthly ways of power and influence and getting ahead or even dealing with politics.
Yeah.
Yikes.
It was distressing to my heart this week to hear the person at 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue compare himself to Jesus and say, "I've done some things even Jesus hasn't done." I said, "Lord, blasphemy. What blasphemy?" It's disheartening. And even recently, as late as yesterday, it came out that He's gathering together with some evangelicals to make a statement about being God's chosen person. And states as proof of the fact that we won, didn't we? So we must be right. Because this is what God wanted. Lord, help us.
Yes, Lord. Help us, Lord.
When we speak of God, we must not use comparative language to man.
No, no.
Preach, Pastor.
And it bothers me and disturbs me, and I know it upsets you.
That's right.
That any man could represent themselves as being better than Jesus. Or just because I won, then God is for my team. You know, we see that on Friday nights, at least the record of Friday nights, because I know you're not watching it.
Come on, pal.
Friday Night Lights.
Yeah, that's in the movie.
And when a team wins, they say, "Yes, God did." Well, did God choose a team? Did God choose a quarterback? Did God choose a play? Did God make that touchdown happen just for you and the other team lose? Now, is that who God is? Does God choose sides?
No.
See, we've got it backwards. It's we who must choose a side.
Yeah.
To be on God's side.
Yeah.
And God is trying to tell us here in Micah, the fourth chapter.
Okay.
It's very important for us to hear it, to recognize who created whom and who's in charge of whom and who calls the plays and how things happen.
Yeah.
And even if people are not following him, then we've got to decide, am I going to be among those who belong to God?
Yes.
We've got a decision to make.
Amen.
And we've got to make it for ourselves, and we also have to make it for our families.
Yeah.
But God says, most of all, I want you to be the representation of God's choice here on earth.
Yeah.
I want the earth to know what God's people look like.
Yeah.
And some of us have done pretty good sometimes. Not all the time.
Yeah.
Amen?
Amen.
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 And that's what Micah's talking about. If you watch and see what he's talking about here, I'm not going to take the time to go through every verse, but it's important for us to understand a few things.
Yes, sir.
And one of the things that we ought to understand is, he says, no matter what's going on, it's God's house that's going to occupy the mountain.
That's right. That's what it says.
It's God's place that's going to be in charge.
Yeah.
No matter who might be in charge by politics, God is in charge.
That's right.
Okay? He may allow some people to be there, but at the same time, he sets them up and he will take them down. And it doesn't mean that they always do what he wants. And he can decide how to use even what they do that is evil and turn it into good.
Priest, Pastor.
And when he's through with them because they won't recognize God, he'll also dispose of them.
Come on now.
It's important for us to hear that. Your children are going to have to hear it in these days. They must hear it around your house. They must hear victory in Jesus at home instead of defeat in politics. Because it's discouraging and disheartening, and it tears you up to think that we're going to be losing. We're not losing. God is not going to lose.
Say that, preacher.
Yeah, he chooses his team well.
Yes,
all right?
Yeah, he do.
And in Hebrews 11, it tells you, I've got a cloud of witnesses of people who chose.
Yes,
you know, we don't want to go down that list, but it's powerful.
Yes, it is.
When God chooses, he chooses well. Now, they mess up for a while, but God can turn them around. You know what I mean? He turns his team around and makes them into winners, even when they mess up.
Amen.
Now, they may die getting it right.
Yeah.
But in the end, they got it right.
That's right.
Because they did it God's way.
Amen.
Now, I'm saying that to say this. I'm trying to encourage your heart this morning.
Yeah.
But there's some things that you ought to know, because God talks about Gentiles in this passage.
Mm-hmm.
And one thing about prophecy that we ought to remember, OK? because we're now getting into it in Sabbath school. Mm-hmm. Those of you who studied your Sabbath school lessons. It may sound like something old, but there's also something new.
That's right.
To understand about old things.
That's right.
And about prophecies and how they bear out. And you have to remember, Micah is a minor prophet, but he doesn't have a minor message.
That's right.
Say that. Say that.
Amen?
Amen.
And it's important for us to hear that from Micah, because he speaks on behalf of God from where he is. He doesn't have very many chapters in his book, but what he says is important, and it fits into God's time and God's place in the world. And he's trying to remind us that God, who looks and sets himself high and sets his church is called Zion. Okay? So when you hear Zion, it's the place where God's people gather to worship him.
That's right.
And it's the place that he honors and that he blesses in order to represent the kingdom of God in heaven. Because Zion on earth will one day be Zion in heaven.
That's right. That's right.
And it must shadow that. We must see that what is, like the Lord's Prayer says, that whatever is in heaven must be where?
Done on earth.
Must be done on earth.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. We must not forget that. You know, we say the Lord's Prayer so easily. It's just words that come rolling out of our mouths.
Mm-hmm.
But we must remember that it's God's way of reminding us that God has the last word.
Amen.
Because his prayer is about him.
Yes.
Thine be the glory.
Yes.
Thine be the what?
Power and the glory.
Power.
And the glory.
Glory. For
ever.
Ever. You see, forever means no beginning and no end. Now we have a beginning and end, but God doesn't.
That's right.
And God is telling to us that he's got a way that is an eternal way that he lives, that he presents himself in our lives. And he wants us to buy into that. And this is the way he talks about it in many ways. And he gives some reasons about it. And he talks about streaming forth, the Gentiles streaming forth, looking for a place to learn how to walk in the way of God. If there wasn't a godly church, what would be the representation of God? Where would we find it? Where would we find victory? Where would we find transformation? Where would we find miracle-working power if it were not for Zion?
That's right.
Amen.
Where God's people gather and praise him. And I appreciate that when we come to praise, it's about him, it's not about us.
That's right.
And we have to keep that straight, but I'm going to tell you something else. Sometimes we forget who Gentiles are.
Tell us, Pastor.
Who are Gentiles?
That's us.
We are.
That's us.
Exactly.
I don't see any Jews here.
No.
The chosen people.